I'm Chris Farrell from the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast, a wacky weekend morning show, part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out right now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and the opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Welcome to episode 292 of Better Podcasting. On this show, we continue our podcast media host discussion talking about Red Circle.
But first, in this week's Better Podnerings, topics include audience concerns about a recent Libsyn action, we talk about what we want for a future audio mixer, and we consider expanding our podcast media host service evaluation criteria.
And finally, in this week's Better Pod Bag, we were made aware of a new clip-on wireless mic, and we have an update from Waffles about his embed project.
Lauren, what type of waffles do you like? I hear Waffles is going to make them for us.
This is Better Podcasting. We are hobby podcasters through and through, just like you. That's why we are different. We minimize the money talk so that you can focus on building a better podcast.
This is episode 292 of Better Podcasting. I am Steven, and I am pleased to say SP is here this week.
Hanging in there by a sniffling thread. That's me. So we'll try to keep the sniffles, the coughs away from the microphone this week. But we wanted to give you an episode, so we're here to talk to you. And also, we wanted to thank Waffles for joining us last week. So thank you very much, Waffles, for coming on board, giving us some food for thought about our Pinecast review.
For sure. And hey, if you didn't know this, we like to talk different podcast related discussions and other techie geeky related discussions in our Discord server. If you go to betterpodcasting.com/discord, well, last week we got a hybrid of the two, because if you watched the live show, you would have seen that throughout there was a couple of glitches we had where we were having problems connecting with Waffles, and 99.99999% sure it was my doing with a mistake I made when I changed over my networking. And so I went, and after we streamed last week, I tried to diagnose some of the issues, and I started a thread over in the Better Podcasting channel as I went through a bunch of the diagnosing that I did, just rambling on and on about it. So these are the type of random things that come into our minds that sometimes we post over in the Discord server, and it was combining podcasting with tech challenges. And in the end, yeah, I'm pretty sure I made a mistake.
And if you weren't in the Discord server, you missed a great opportunity to heckle Steven as he was going through his troubleshooting.
You should have. SP was there doing it, and I appreciated that.
You bet. What are friends for?
And also, if you have friends who have a podcast, and maybe they had something go wrong with their podcast, we'd love to know, how did they save their podcast? This is a segment we like to do at the beginning. If you have something that went wrong with your podcast or a friend, and they did save it, we would love it if you would tell us all about it. Email podcast@betterpodcasting.com or just come over to that Discord server. Now, is it time to get to the podnerings? All right, this one that we're going to start off with today actually came from our listeners in our Discord. We had somebody come to our Discord this past week, and they shared a clip that was about Libsyn. And SP, I'll turn it over to you to recap, because you do a much better job of speaking than I do.
Yeah, first of all, we got to go way back in our Better Podcasting live chat machine to the 19th of November, 2023, when we released Better Podcasting live chat number 70. And it was all about how we could no longer recommend Libsyn for hobby podcasters. I'm not going to go over the whole thing right now. You can go into our archives at betterpodcasting.com. You can see Better Podcasting live chat number 70 and listen to everything. But if you want to hit the highlights, here's what it is. First of all, they do not support enough storage for video like Spotify for podcasters. It's not a huge thing, but it is part of the calculus. Also, the SEC halted trading of the Libsyn stock on April 20th, 2022. It was never resumed despite a pledge in March of 2023, financial update by Libsyn to facilitate shareholders liquidating by the end of 2023. Also, Libsyn has shifted to focus on advertising, not podcast hosting. This was a combination of acquisitions of companies all centered around advertising, like Pear, Glow, AdvertiseCast, we'll get that in a second, and Julep. And also a CEO statement, seeing the future of Libsyn as an advertising company, not a podcast hosting company. Also, the company experienced some layoffs. Software developer, product manager, web developers, customer service, app security, etc. Also, we've been suffering underneath a dual control of the back end of Libsyn. Libsyn 4 is still in use today. Libsyn 5 was introduced on March 30th, 2021, and still not complete. They haven't fully completed that transition from 4 to 5. There were press releases on advertising or big podcasts, not any of the small hot podcasts. There wasn't any large movement to advertise or promote smaller podcasts or independent podcasts on its destination. And then we've talked about this before, how they have multiple destinations versus one RSS feed. As hobbyists, we think that may hamper moving off their service, which is one of the reasons why we didn't explore moving off of Libsyn prior to last fall. We don't see any podcasting 2.0 support. Matter of fact, I think Libsyn has straight out said we're not going to support podcasting 2.0. They do support the transcription tag since Apple Podcasts has come out with transcription, but that's it in the namespace of podcasting 2.0. Their billing increased in December of 2022 without notice. And you're like, well, their plans haven't changed. That's right. Their plans haven't changed, but taxes started to be taken out. And then there was a month in there that they weren't taken out, but they are taken out every month since with one. And also there is snark and sarcasm of their public facing employees. It's overbearing, overused, and not conducive to working with others. So those are the main points of why I and we no longer recommend Libsyn for hobby podcasters. So we had a listener of our show on our Discord point out to the latest episode of The Feed. And for those that don't know, The Feed is Libsyn's official podcast. Now, during the episode, Rob Walsh, who is one of their employees, conducted a little test of a news story that we reported a couple of podcasts ago. We'll get to that later. And then here is the snippet. We took a transcription from the snippet that was posted in our Discord, and here is the transcript of that. Quote, Apple has not changed the fields they index and search from in a long time. And by the way, I have slipped unique slugs into some of our biggest shows into their descriptions. Shh, don't tell them I did that. Just to do some testing to see if it was big shows got indexed versus small shows. No difference if a show was big or small. I did take them out, and I usually do those tests like over a weekend so that they didn't fall down. But in any case, nobody looks at the end of their show description in episode descriptions. The point is, I've been doing this testing for a long time, unquote. All right, that is from Rob Walsh's mouth. That's a transcript from The Feed. We have the audio available on our Discord server. Steven, what do you think?
I don't like the idea of going in and randomly testing with other people's feeds, because a test is, by definition, has the possibility of something going wrong. A test is something that you're trying something. And so the fact that apparently Rob went in and made these changes, sure, yeah, could have had all the reason in the world to think it would be fine. But what if it was that, you know, even 0.1% chance that it didn't go right? And could it have affected a client's podcast negatively? Potentially. I don't like that being done. And then the idea of just coming on to their main podcast, admitting to that, you know, saying in there, shh, don't tell them, admitting you basically know that there's something not quite right about that. And then not only recording that, but choosing to publish with that. It's a lot of missteps there. And it represents, I think, a lot of what the images of in my mind of Libsyn that I've painted over recent years. There's been a lot of things that have painted a certain image in my mind, and this just really supports it. And, you know, I get everybody has their own personalities, and, you know, we've talked about some of the personalities out there that have not been conducive to working within what we'd like to see, the tone in the industry and whatnot. But sometimes there's guards in there, and there's safeguards, and you can't always assume that one person's way they display themselves represents the actions that are taken on the actual company side. Well, this here just kind of clashed the two worlds, and it's very clear here that the action of testing here was a thing that was actually conducted on a customer's account with Libsyn. So I just think, like, there's no gray zone with this. It's very clear that some of the actions that are being taken might be individual basis. I don't know the behind the scenes. I don't know if it's something that he had to get approval for that, or he just had the ability to just go in and do it. But it just doesn't sit well with me at all. I'm glad we're looking to get off of Libsyn. I have concerns about the future of Libsyn with some of the changes they've been making. And this is just another thing on the plate of problems that I have.
There was a question in our Discord server about the Libsyn terms of service. So I went to their website and I pulled them down. We are customers of them. I host 5 podcasts on Libsyn right now. This podcast is hosted on Libsyn. So I was wondering if this was already in their terms of service, that they could go in and modify your content. So that's one thing. First of all, they label your content as, quote, your content. And there was nothing in the terms of service in all the pages that I read that allow them to modify your content. They have all sorts of things in there that assist in them distributing your content, but there is nothing in there about them being able to modify your content. So, not a lawyer, but maybe this was against the terms of service. I'm just saying it might be. So, the other thing is, a lot of people talk about not messing with your file. I mean, we've been talking about it in our reviews of other podcast media host services, and we're talking about re-encoding, changing the file name, that sort of thing. This was actually messing with the description. Yes, it was only a slug at the end of show notes, but this was messing with the actual content in the description. That's not okay for me. Don't mess with my file. Don't mess with my content. Don't mess with my description unless I give you an okay. I mean, if he would have asked us if it was okay to put a slug in there to test something that we had talked about a couple of weeks ago, we might have said okay, but he didn't ask us. I don't even know if he used our show or not. Probably not. I think he was talking about shows that get like 100,000 downloads an episode or whatever. That's not us. But anyway, yeah, it's not okay. This is also coming from the man who, after Podcast Movement of 2021, this was also something that was told to us in our Discord server, he was forced to apologize for something that he said in his talk at Podcast Movement 2021. So there's some history of edginess in there that was not conducive to collaboration and cooperation across the podcast industry. Also, just want to say, as I mentioned, I would get to this later, Libsyn continues down the path of rebranding as an advertising company, since AdvertiseCast is now rebranded as Libsyn Ads, as per that same The Feed episode. It was in the same episode that this occurred in. They announced that they were changing the name of AdvertiseCast to Libsyn Ads. So this tells me that Libsyn is rebranding as an advertisement company. They put the Libsyn brand name on their ad arm. So the point of testing by Rob, and this is back to our episode, I just want to be fully transparent here, was to debunk some advice that we shared a couple of episodes ago about a press release from OSHA about,
and not just us, lots of people out there were discussing it.
Yeah, AUSHA, about keywords and search results, in particular with Apple Podcasts, which still is the major distribution hub for podcasts in podcasting. It appears, with Rob's testing, as bad as it was, to be debunked. However, the method chosen was something that I'm not comfortable with at all, unless he did gain okay and permission from the podcast owners?
Well, based off of the audio clip that was put in there, I know that our Discord server had lots of people who pretty much were speaking similar tones to what ours was, which is disapproval of this, because it did sound very clear that he did not.
All right, Stephen, are you ready to move on from that topic to another exciting topic?
Yeah, is this about the audio mixers? Because I know it's been a long time since we've talked about audio mixers on this podcast. We've never discussed them in recent memory at all.
So what we're talking about is the new generation of audio mixer recorders, you know, the Rodecaster Pro, Rodecaster Pro 2, the Mackie DLZ Creator, DLZ Creator XS, those that are mixing the audio and able to record the audio, as well as to do some really cool things, maybe with DSP, digital signal processing, or EQ and that sort of thing. So since we're exhaustive of the existing ones on the market right now, and you'd have to go back the last few episodes to hear what's happened to all of our mixers, then we were thinking, okay, next generation is going to come at some point. What do we want to see in a next generation mixer recorder? And so we decided to put a couple of lists together on that, and we're going to share those lists with you and then ask for your feedback on what you think is correct, what you think needs to be added, and what you think needs to be dropped off. We have them in categories. There are ones that each of us said that are unique to each of us. There are ones, there's a category that we both want, and there's, quite frankly, a category where we're slightly competing with each other. I won't say we're opposing each other, but we're opposing each other a little bit in what they are. So, Stephen, as I was going through this, I kind of want to start with the yellow of what we both want.
Yeah, and I'll kick it off here. And I think the first thing that we want is we both want the Johnny Pennington Signature Edition. So whatever it is, we want to make sure that there's an exclusive Johnny Pennington Signature Edition.
I want it to be black, and I want him to sign it with a silver Sharpie.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, you know, putting that one aside, because we know that the Johnny Pennington Edition is going to be an easy ask for us to have. There's probably going to be that all over all the next generation of mixers. First thing that I'm going to mention is a smaller footprint. This is something that both of us would like to have. We both like to have a smaller footprint. You have the Rodecaster Pro 2, I have the Rodecaster Pro 1, and both of us agree they're a little bit big for what they are. And I have to say, you know, the Rodecaster Pro 1 feels especially big with all the extra space and stuff. And when I unboxed that DLZ Creator XS last week, that was just like, oh, I was just eager to have that desk space back. But you know what? Maybe in the future.
I like the size of the Rodecaster Pro 2. It's not too big for me, but electronics get smaller. And if I could condense this just a little bit, it's that little, like an inch or two less that I have to, you know, reach over with my very short American arms and, you know, grab the sound pads and that sort of thing. So yeah, I'm okay with that. Also, talking about the Rodecaster Pro 2, I just want a mixer recorder that works.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, one that actually does what it's supposed to do. Yeah, I want that. And for those that might be coming into this clean, we've documented my issues with the Rodecaster Pro 2. I'm actually on my second Rodecaster Pro 2. I said we would talk about it this week. It's going to slip until next week. The second RM-Aid Rodecaster Pro 2, which is actually the third Rodecaster Pro 2 that's been in the studio. And this one is even having some problems. So I have some issues with this, and I just want one that works.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that we both came to was the idea of NDI capabilities, and we both had to amend that as of last week, with some form of network security, because obviously we want our mixers to be secure on a network. So we want NDI capabilities with network security.
Another one that you put on there as bit depth and I put on there straight out as 32-bit float is the actual bit depth on the machine. I think what I have right now is 24 with the Rodecaster Pro 2. I would like to see 32. Everything is going 32, and I would like to see 32 on the next generation.
For me, I'm going to just mention this. That's on my nice to haves, because I still think the bit depth is a little overrated for an average hobby podcaster. But hey, if it's the option between better or not better, obviously I'll take better. So
we mentioned this before with the Rodecaster Pro 2, and I think you've had the issue with the Rodecaster Pro. It's very difficult to clip this. So I think there is something akin to 32-bit float working on these Rodecasters, but I'm not sure. I know that 32-bit float basically means you can't clip. So that's why I put in 32-bit float. And yeah, we agree on this that we would just like to see expanded.
Another one that we both agree on is we want, with 100% certainty, we want to have Polywave. Oh, wait, sorry. We don't want Polywave. No Polywaves for us. This is something that we've expressed before. I have Polywave on the Rodecaster Pro 1, and it is just so much easier when it's not a Polywave file like is on the Rodecaster Pro 2. You just got your raw files there on individual tracks, especially when you do a long-form show. I have to admit this, that Polywave, if you're doing a shorter show where it's not splitting up the clip, there's actually a lot of benefit to Polywave importing into a DAW. But for us who do our longest shows, it means if you do a Polywave file, you have got a bunch of individual files. So we do not want Polywave.
Another thing that we agreed on with slightly different wording is I said onboard digital signal processing. Steven said advanced EQ. So I think it's roughly about the same thing. We want some sort of processing available on our machines.
And just to tack on to that there, after using the DLZ Creator XS, that's what I want. I want an interface that looks like the DLZ Creator XS, where it represents a lot of what you see when you are using a EQ plugin, for example, in a DAW.
Another point that we want to make is we want to make it affordable. I believe, Steven, you straight out said affordable. I actually throw a dollar amount. I want it less than the Rodecaster Pro 2. I want it at $500. I think the price point of the Rodecaster Pro 2 is a little bit high. I think the price point of the Duo is a little bit high. And also, we talked about the original price point of the DLZ Creator being outrageous in comparison to the Rodecaster Pro 2. So yeah, I would like to see them come down in price a little bit, $100, $200. So I threw $500 out there. Is that going to be obtainable in 2024, 2025? I don't know, but I would like to hit that $500 for a 4XLR input mixer. Then also, talking about the Polywave that we mentioned before, let's talk about reducing the total amount of tracks recorded. Let's stop digital waste, right? And be able to turn off some of these tracks in an advanced mode that we don't need. And I do enjoy the dummy mode, whereas everything's being recorded, so you don't forget to not record anything and get to the end and go, oh man, I didn't record that track. But I've been doing this for a while. I'll take that hit. I have enough backups running that I'll get some audio out of it. And I just want to reduce the total amount that's on my SD card, my external drive, or my computer. I don't want to have to record every single track every single time.
On the note of multi-track, I do want the multi-track interface capabilities as well, by the way. That is something that I quite enjoy, having started to use it again on the Rodecaster Pro 1. And so, yeah, give me all those multi-track goodnesses.
And the last one that we agree on, yours is in your nice-to-haves, mine is I want to have it, is I want Bluetooth connectivity, and I specifically called out mobile device connections and headphone connections.
Mm.
I haven't tried a headphone Bluetooth connection with it yet. I don't know if it can do it or not, but I want to expand the Bluetooth capability with the mixer recorder going into the future. I know you said it's nice to have. I think it's more than nice to have in this day and age, especially if you're bringing in calls from a mobile device. I think you just need to have it.
For me, I don't do that. That's why it's a nice to have. And last I knew, even the most recent version of Bluetooth still has a latency that is not easy to use when you're hearing yourself. But there is a good way you could still use that. Say, you know, we were previewing an episode and you talked about walking around the house or whatever, right? Then you could just have it connected directly, a pair of headphones directly to your audio mixer. So absolutely could be a nice to have. Now, should we go to the unique qualities or should we go to the opposing views?
Let's go green versus orange.
Okay, so the unique things for me, I would like to have network-based file transfer. I think this is such a missed opportunity on both the DLZ Creator XS and the Rodecaster Pro 2. They both have network jacks. Why can't I transfer the file over a network? That's ridiculous. Give me access to that.
I agree with that.
You do agree with that, but it's not on your list.
I do agree with that. I just didn't have it on my points. I agree with that. My first point is I want clean preamps for my Shure SM7B. And this is really meant for people that might be coming into the game or companies that are coming into the game that are not named Mackie or Rode, because both of those have good preamps. But if somebody else comes to the table with the next generation, whether it's Tascam or Behringer or anybody else, I want clean preamps that are powerful enough to actually record my voice, which is a quieter voice. If you've ever met me in person, you'll understand what I'm saying. And I need to turn the gain up a little bit. So you have a microphone that's tough to deal with in the beginning, and then you add my quiet voice on it. I need something that's good. And so far, the preamps on the Rodecaster Pro 2 are good. So I need something like this in a next generation mixer.
Then another one that I had was I wanted to see, continuing on with that network thing, I really want to see networking properly used on these devices. If you're going to throw even, you know, Wi-Fi capability on there, do the firmware updates by network, do whatever needs to be done by network, including I would like to see a web interface that allows me to fully control the unit in whatever digital capabilities are on the unit. I want to be able to do that. Essentially give me all controls over the network rather than having to do anything on the actual display. It doesn't make sense to me. If you're going to give network capability, give me a way to remotely control that. Obviously, this is putting aside those analog knobs, but all the things that you can do through the touchscreen, give me access over the network. I want that.
I want that too. Something else I also want is a bigger screen than I have with the Rodecaster Pro 2. And you're like, SP, you could get a DLZ Creator. Yes, I could, but it would be too big for my desk. So I want a smaller footprint mixer, but I want a mixer that has a larger screen. I think the DLZ Creator XS is getting close to the footprint that I'm thinking of with a bigger screen and a smaller actual fit form. But that's what I'm talking about. I want a bigger screen. And also, I want a ability, and I'm specifically talking to you, Rode, about the Rodecaster Pro 2, a more accurate SD card space remaining.
Ugh.
Because this 12 plus hours and then gets down. Well, I want to know exactly how much is on there. This indicator is crap, and it has been crap since I got the thing. I want a better indicator. I appreciate the indicator. It does turn yellow when I'm getting close to the end of the card, so I appreciate that. But you know, give me exactly how much is left in terms of time or space, either one, or maybe be able to toggle back and forth. That's what I'm talking about. And I want that no matter who makes the mixer.
And the last unique thing that I had on my list before you rattle off the rest of your unique things is I want a Stream Deck integration. I got to be honest here. I want them to prioritize that. The Stream Deck itself has become such a key live streaming thing across so many different industries, not just podcasting, gaming as well. I think I'd like to see some form of focal point on developing a Stream Deck integration for controlling said device.
Okay, so my last few are I want the ability to power it through a battery bank mobile, because I want to be able to take this to a convention or a conference, just set it on a table and record without having to plug it in. And yes, I have done that before, and I produced that before, and I want to be able to do it again. The tie to an actual outlet, I think, is a little ridiculous. Now, whether I take this or maybe an H6 Essentials or something like that, you know, I would prefer just to have to deal with one unit rather than have a bunch of gear that I have to buy. So that's why I want the ability to power it through a battery bank. And also, I want it to be rugged enough to survive being mobile. Do I want to throw it around? No, I don't. I want it to have a nice carrying case and be able to survive a little jostling as you go along. And I want it to have the ability to take USB microphones. Steven, we talked about this before, where we are thinking that at some point in time, there is actually going to be a USB mixer in the future, just because there's going to be a proliferation of USB microphones and people are just going to say, this is the way it's going to go and that sort of thing.
There are some.
Right. But I think they're going to be better ones. And I think that continuing the ability of the Rodecaster Pro 2 in the next generation to be able to take at least one or two USB microphones just to enhance the capability. I think that's going to be key in the future of these mixers for a variety of different customers. I want the ability to have wireless microphone inputs, ones that I don't have to buy special inputs for. I just want it to interface directly, whether it's Bluetooth or some other way that wireless microphones work. I want that ability. I want an easier ability to access the stupid SD card, because I'm not keeping the same SD card in there forever. It's just going to go bad and it's going to screw around a recording. And I want a robust power button. Now, some of these that we just talked about are going to come up in our next phase of basically opposition to each other, but they're not so opposite as you might think.
So the first thing that I want to mention is I actually want to be done with the SD card. I think the USB ports, I'd like to just have a drive there instead. And that is a thing. That is absolutely a thing. The Mackie DLZ creator will do that. I'm not sure about the Rodecaster Pro. I think it does, but I really don't have a care for SD card anymore. I'm totally fine with USB. The other thing I want is the XLR. I'm actually only need three. That's all I'm really looking for. I'll let you chime in a second about what you're looking for. For me, I want one more than the Duo and the DLZ Creator XS have. I just want the three, and that's so that I can podcast with my boys. Let's be real about that. And then the dual USB is not actually a need for me, but I want to have some form of combination. So basically a way that I can do two outputs that can be through a USB and a combination with an NDI output or some form of possible software that runs on the USB that can then separate the channels and make an individual mix. Basically, I want to be able to send audio out to the people I'm talking to with the mix minus applied, as well as get the mix down through some of the way, whether that is a combination of networking and USB or something else. So those are mine that we disagree, and I will let you now say how that sort of counters to your point.
Well, the first one was SD card. I don't necessarily disagree with you, Stephen, but I would like the ability to back it up on the machine, and I would also like to have a dedicated out for a external hard drive or computer or whatever that is specifically for recording. So if you think in terms of the Rodecaster Pro 2, I want an extra one. I want the ability to go out USB to a computer. I want an ability to go out to a tablet or second computer. And I want an extra one that's just devoted to recording, to storage on an external drive. So that's what I want. It's not too far from you what you want, but that is what I want. I also want a version with six XLR inputs. You say you want two or three? That's fine. They already have the Duo or the Creator XS with two or three, and then they have the four version. I want a six version, and that's not just for me. I actually probably won't ever use a six XLR version. I know so many people, both on our Discord and in r/podcasting, that are looking for this capability for their playthrough podcast or for their recording of an audio drama that need more than four XLR inputs. And I think the market is ripe. And I twinge a little bit on this because I just said something in the opposite direction that I think if you increase the price just a little bit, $100, I think you could get 6LR and you would still have a market for that. I think a lot of people would actually purchase that.
That's actually where I came down to three because of the affordability factor. Is two, I feel, is not enough for me to say it's worth dropping the price, but three is enough for me. So that's where I was trying to weigh the affordability. So I know where you're coming from on that.
Yeah, with the Rodecaster Pro 2, you have four XLR inputs, and then you could use one of the USBs to use a Rode mic in. So you could do five, but a lot of people, when they're doing a playthrough or a D&D podcast, they want six. So give them six. So that's why I'm coming through there. I also want the multiple USB outputs. I also don't disagree with Steven. I want the NDI. We both said we wanted the NDI, but I want two USB outputs that will go to two different devices. I really think that's going to be valuable for a lot of creators, not all, but a lot of creators. So I want that.
So we'd love to know what is on your wish list for a future audio mixer, digital mixer, whatever you'd like to call it, please come to our Discord at betterpodcasting.com/discord. Do you disagree with anything we said? Is there something that you would like to see yourself? Please let us know, and maybe we can revisit this in the future, because everybody's use cases are unique, and we'd like to know what yours is.
We also have one final discussion point that is very important to have before we start with our next part of our segment, and that is something that's come up in our Discord and with our guest last time about adding criteria categories to our media host provider assessments. And one that has come up, which we admittedly were like, duh, we should have put it in there, because we both are supportive of this, is like an ecological impact. Like, what is the ecological cost of creating these services, and what is our power usage? Are they renewable and that sort of thing? So we haven't run into any information about that.
No.
But we would like to add that as a criteria going forward. And we think every business should add that as a criteria going forward. So it's not unique to what we are reviewing, but it should be added as a criteria.
And that's something that's been discussed a while in the web hosting side of things as well. So that's not unique to media hosting. It's something that in the web industry has been talked about for a long time, because server farms use a lot of power.
So we'll be adding that in the future. We're not going to be talking about it tonight, but we'll be adding it in the future, and I'll be searching for it. And if you as a listener have any information about a podcast media host provider and their greenness, then let us know. And the second category that we will be adding, and we will be talking about it tonight, is what we talked about with Waffles last week, and that's the embed player. And all credit is due actually to Damien, who brought it up on our Discord, and both Steven and I completely skipped over it. We weren't ignoring you, we just completely skipped over it. So we would like to add that one in as well. It's a red letter day here on Better Podcasting, why we circle around the microphone. That's right, we're turning on a subscription to levy our podcast media host criteria on the Red Circle service this week. According to our research of Red Circle's online business profiles, the company was founded in April 15th of 2018, that's tax day in the United States, by Jeremy Lermite and Michael Caden, and is headquartered in San Francisco, but incorporated in Delaware. To date, before our research for this episode, neither of us had any firsthand experience using Red Circle with hosting our podcasts. And for this episode, I used one of the two audio podcasts that podfaded after 2017 that the owner allowed to podfade. And again, I'm going to use Steven's favorite word right here. I'm going to foot stomp this. I did this with the owner's expressed permission. And what I did is I imported the show that I used on Simplecast, our review from Simplecast, and I moved it to Red Circle and continued to upload a new episode.
On my side of things, I just continued on with what I knew, which was create a brand new account with a brand new show. And I ran into actually a bit of a weird quirk here. I have to mention that it was, as I went through, the setup made sense. It was pretty straightforward. But when I actually hit the create button, it didn't tell me that it was created. The page that you fill out was still showing. And so I thought, okay, well, maybe I didn't click it right. Who knows? So I clicked it again. And then what ended up happening was it told me that the slug was in use. So at that point I went, oh, okay, that must mean that it created. And so I hit the little X at that point, and sure enough, it was there on my shows. So definitely ran into a weird bug. I don't know if that was just unique to my computer at the time or something else, but other than that, it worked well.
I attributed to the Canadian maple syrup that you were consuming at that time. For this review, we discounted the Red Circle free core plan. We didn't want to have ads run on our shows that we didn't have any control over. We wanted an ad-free web page landing page, and we wanted access to dynamic audio blocks. We wanted to be able to monetize with ads, because that's in the criteria for a lot of hobby podcasters. We wanted better support. We'll talk about this later, but it's in terms of hours, 48 hours versus 72 hours. But it is worth a note, as we've acknowledged before, that some users are okay with ads if it means less payment. And there are several key features included with the free plan on Red Circle. but there are restrictions too. So as we go through, we will not be talking about the free plan on Red Circle. We also didn't want to choose the higher $35 a month pro plan. And in our opinion, there's three key points that you gain as you go up from the $20 to growth plan to the $35 a month pro plan. It's 5 team seats, 24-hour support versus the 48-hour support, and YouTube direct distribution, and we'll come back to that later. As there are different features on different plans, we'll just say up front that we are looking at this primarily from the growth plan perspective at $20 per month. But there are several notes to this, which we'll come back to throughout the show. And because there are some cases where it could be within the realm for somebody to go to one of the higher plans on Red Circle.
Now, using that as a basis, we'll continue through with our normal format of discussing the highlights, some neutral points, and some shortcomings that we see about Red Circle. And we'll, of course, we'll look at this through the lens of a hobby podcaster. But let's give a quick shout out here before we actually get into the highlights, because in this endeavor, we came across a blog on Red Circle. There, if you go to redcircle.com/blog, they have a blog. And yes, there is your typical thing you would expect, which is some salesy, pitchy articles, that sort of stuff. But there's actually some just general podcasting and industry discussion over there as well. So even if you're not using Red Circle, I thought that was worth a shout out just to mention, you might want to take a look at that because it looks quite active and some things that might benefit you to read if you're trying to keep up on some of the best practices and latest tips and ideas in the podcast sphere.
To kick off the highlights, as always, we'll start with the ability to redirect your RSS somewhere else. Quite simply, does Red Circle have a 301 redirect capability? The answer is yes. It's found on the podcast dashboard, the menu, then you go to remove podcast. There's two options that appear, one to delete your podcast and one to redirect your podcast. In the delete podcast options, it mentions that you're permanently going to delete your RSS feed and it's going to remove your podcast from all listening apps such as Apple, Spotify, and etc. And it is irreversible. In the redirect podcast, there's three questions in a GUI checkbox. The three questions are, what is your new hosting platform? What is your new RSS feed? And why are you leaving Red Circle? The checkbox is, I understand this will redirect my podcast off of Red Circle, and any changes I make in my Red Circle account will not be updated for listeners. And interestingly enough, we've been talking about the dichotomy between the web browser on a desktop and mobile site. Same options are on the mobile site. So there's no hiding redirecting your podcast on the mobile site. But the options themselves are kind of hidden. Now, this is good for accidentally deleting your show, not doing that. And it is frustrating, though, if you're looking for it, which I'll be doing in a couple of weeks. But it's a six of one, half a dozen of the other. I mean, I don't want to accidentally hit the option to redirect my podcast. But at the same time, if I'm looking for it, I don't want to click 10 times to get to it.
There's also a bit of a unique note that we'd like to put in here that we haven't seen yet on other platforms is when you're viewing the dashboard of your podcast, because you can't have multiple podcasts, there's actually a setting there that gives you the option to, quote, view redirected podcasts, end quote. So this seems like a smart way that you can make sure you have that breadcrumb of your podcast that used to be on there. If you've redirected it, you can go back and find that information. But also if you, for some reason, have other podcasts that are still active, you don't actually have to see your redirected one every time you're in that listing either. So I thought that was a nice way to sort that, keep that information, but also not have it in your face every single time if you need.
As for the import features to move your show from somewhere else to Red Circle, we're going to give this capability a rating of 4 out of 5. There's lots of clicks involved, which slightly reduces this rating for us. But on the positive side, there's lots of instructions given on the fields as you progress. You start by searching for your podcast name. If that doesn't work, spoiler, it didn't for me, there is an option to search via the RSS feed. The next option is a choice. One is, I plan to migrate my podcast to Red Circle. And another is, I want Red Circle's ads, but I want to stay on my existing hosting platform, and that's in beta. Now, at this point, I chose to migrate my podcast to Red Circle, and the show is imported. I didn't choose the ads, And there is directions on how to redirect your old feed that are pretty comprehensive. You choose your distributions, and then you create a new episode if you have one ready to go. And that's as easy as it was. It was pretty easy. And as much as I do this to import my feed from one media host provider to another, it's not as daunting as I once thought it was. It's actually pretty easy so far.
Now, moving on to customer support, we didn't see any big negative customer support experiences out there. And SP, you actually had an experience with Red Circle support yourself.
I did. I had the really weird situation where my account disappeared. I mean, it was gone. It wasn't there. I got very frustrated. And I even typed in a support ticket saying, my account's gone. What's going on? I checked my podcast. It was there. The account wasn't. What's going on? Steven, I typed my email in wrong.
how did they get back to you, though?
Well, I responded to my request right away because I could do that. It was via email, and I responded and said, hey, look, it's my bad. I'm sorry. And they got back to me within an hour anyway. You know, that whole time period, I thought they were going to take like 2 days to get back to me. Fortunately, I wasn't doing this last night. I was doing it a couple of weeks ago, so it wouldn't impact this episode at all. But they did reach out to me right away, and the ticket itself was closed a day later. And then they sent me several emails in the coming days of how, rate your experience, how did we do, that sort of thing. So it went really smoothly. And again, Red Circle did nothing wrong. This was all on me.
Now, we do want to quickly mention that if you are looking at Red Circle, based off of the plan, they do have different time frames of when you can expect to get back. We do expect that there's probably some under-promising, over-delivering happening here, given SP's positive experience, but they do say that on the plan that we're talking about, it's a 48-hour turnaround. So if something's gone wrong, you're going to get a response within 48 hours. If that's something that they're so busy, they got to stick to their time frame. So just keep that in mind that 48 hours could be a long time, but we don't know. We haven't seen anything negative out there. If you do want faster turnaround, you can pay for a higher plan.
Moving on in our highlight section, at the growth plan level, there is an ability to monetize via ads. There are some limits, but this plan tier at the growth level does start the capability within Red Circle. There is full capability at the $35 a month pro plan. And also, Red Circle did just announce OpenWrap on March 20th, 2024, just a couple of weeks ago as we record this. It is, quote, the first and only product delivering fully automated host red advertising across hosting platforms, unquote. We won't delve too deep into these options. We'll just note that they are there, as we would any of the other podcast media hosting services we review. It's also probably worth noting at this point that you can sign up for a 7-day free trial, but you must enter your credit card at the beginning. So it'll auto charge you if you don't cancel it before the end of that trial. But the trial is very functional and gives you a proper experience to see if you like it or not.
Now, as far as the mobile interface goes, it looked like it worked fine on mobile. In fact, it looked like maybe the website was optimized for mobile. We'll come back to this a bit later. As for reliability, we didn't notice any reliability stories out there. And if you are somebody that's looking to dynamically insert audio, you can do so. The capabilities do increase, though, at the higher, the $35 per month pro plan. But at the growth, there is still capability for dynamic insert of audio. So I do say dynamic insert of audio because it's not just ads.
Red Circle does offer receiving money from listeners. You need to connect your bank account first. And we didn't try this feature, but it is there. So it's a highlight for us just to have the capability. You could do it in the form of donations or paying for exclusive content as well. And while it's not money, it's growth related, they have a section dedicated to cross promotions with other Red Circle users. So you can actually multiply your effect of your audience through those cross promotions. Now, one highlight they have, and Steven found this, is the ability to generate a video from your MP3. Okay. In reality, their handling of video is more of a shortcoming since it's still very much an audio-driven platform. However, it's worth putting in the highlights section here that when you upload a file to Red Circle, you're presented with an option to generate a video file with a tick box that states, quote, generate a video file that you can download and manually upload to YouTube, unquote. And on the higher plan, you can upload direct to YouTube. So while Red Circle is not going to be offering features for podcasters with a video drive, they are enabling more traditional audio-only podcasters who just want to post to YouTube with a static image. And perhaps it's even more relevant with YouTube music podcasts out there. For a podcaster that's not remotely interested in video, this makes it easy for them, even on the growth plan. They've even put some thought into this, dedicating an entire page of support to it.
And finally, in the highlights, we'll talk about the affordability, because at $20 per month, you do get a lot. There's unlimited podcast shows, so unlimited RSS feeds. There's unlimited episodes, no bandwidth limits on the upload or the download, and you do get dynamic audio blocks. Yes, it is higher than a few of the others that we've talked about, but with unlimited podcasts and unlimited bandwidth, that's a lot for your $20. Even if you wanted to, say, get some team seat capability, you could do so by going up to the $35 per month, which, again, with the unlimited podcast, you can start to see how that actually might divvy up a little less per podcast. If you got multiple contributors, multiple owners in a show, you could really see how this could start to become affordable. So we'll rate this out of 4 out of 5 for affordability because of the fact that there are some cheaper options out there, but you get a lot here for your money with Red Circle. And we will say that this makes it a contender right out of the box at the price point. And we should also take the opportunity, though, now just to mention that although there is these unlimited uploads, unlimited episodes, there are some file size limits. So the limits themselves are for a $20 growth plan. It's a 200 megabyte per file upload limit. And if you go up to the 35, it increases to 250 megabytes, which, in the grand scheme of things, it's not entirely bad. A 75-minute stereo, 192 kilobit per second episode is going to be 105 megabits. But it is a limitation worth acknowledging here while we're talking about the whole price point. Each podcast media host should have some form of limitation to protect themselves. So for us, we'll actually say that the limitation works into the affordability. It's reasonable. And so that whole package makes it a highlight.
Now, moving on into our neutral zone, that's our neutral section, there is a good amount of criteria that we're going to place here. For statistics, we'll just label them as a pass. The statistics, or quote, analytics, unquote, as Red Circle calls them, they're not IAB compliant. Overall, it's nothing spectacular, but it's acceptable. The graphs are easy to understand, and they are actually appreciable how they show what the graphs are locked from your plan. Now, many of the providers that we've evaluated so far have a paywall for more advanced statistics, but it's sometimes not easy to know what's being missed out on without doing a bunch of cross-referencing. I appreciate that they make it clear what something is locked. Is it something that I want? Can I easily recognize and decide just by the blurring? But the layout is a little hard to navigate through. It's a long page that consists of a lot of scrolling, a little bit of toggling. There's also some side scrolling needed in certain boxes. This is frustrating when you see the white space on both sides of the page. Like, okay, can't you condense this a little bit? We'd like to see Red Circle take a second crack at how this is all laid out, as we've seen some better layouts to date. But to be clear, the primary data that we want is there. So it's in our neutral section.
Now, just like the analytics, the provided website landing page is okay. It's pretty bare bones. It doesn't have any integration with social media accounts. You have to click on a button to get through limited support distribution sites. Now, as a small bonus, you can link to your actual website if you have one, but just the whole package of the website overall is just okay. It looks good, though, from a visual perspective, but it's visually appealing and falls into sort of a trend we've been seeing where it seems like they're trying to just create a carve out for this podcast within their platform. So within the Red Circle platform, this seems to be a trend. They're not looking to create a neutral website for the podcaster. They just want to carve out a little space on their platform for the podcaster. That's the feel that it gives.
And speaking of your website, what about displaying your podcast elsewhere? Maybe on your own independent website. We heard our audience, and we hear that people want to know more about the InBed player. I'm not sure we can retroactively go back and address all the ones that we've done already, but let's start talking about InBed players now. Overall, the Red Circle InBed player looks good. It's clean, it's good integration of show art, responsible, and has standard playback spots. There's also a little bit of customization that you can apply. There's a light or a dark theme, a blurred background, and there's an option to select the color yourself. However, these customization features are behind the $35 a month paywall, so that's why we'll leave this in the neutral section. As for the company's health, we don't have any reason to sound the alarm, but it appears by the company's profile that it is still in startup mode. Ultimately, will it be profitable? Is it profitable? Will they need another round of fundraising? I don't know. This concerns us a little bit, enough to keep our ears to our headphones about it, but there's no alarms for bankruptcy or shutdown, and there's no signals coming through yet along these lines. So the company's health appears to be okay for now.
There's even a careers page where they're doing some hiring. So, hey, maybe that's up your alley. Go have a look. I'm not a recruiter, by the way. Let's make that clear. As for the graphic user interface, it was a bit odd. I have to say, we had to go hunting for some non-existing features like social media. It wasn't clear that they weren't there. And it does feel like it is more optimized for the mobile experience. It's not our favorite experience by any stretch of the imagination, but it is functional. However, we would be remiss if we didn't mention how it does feel, because several of the media hosts that we've evaluated feel very clicky. What we mean by that is you click on a page and it feels like you load a page. It's a traditional way of surfing the web, but Red Circle feels smoother. It's more smooth like butter. When you click on something, it feels very integrated to the next thing. It feels like a more modern approach to navigating around a website. It's not very clearly divided as you go through the different pages, even though the page is actually changing. So it does feel less clicky load page and more clicky. Oh, there's the feature.
So less Netscape, more Firefox.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay. The RSS distribution is the destinations that are on the webpage are only 5: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, and Google Podcasts. Well, first of all, as of today, Google Podcasts isn't supposed to exist anymore. We're recording this on April 3rd, 2024, but we'll leave that where it is. Second of all, there are so many others, such as iHeartRadio, Pandora, TuneIn, CastBox, Podbean, just to name a few. There is a small hyperlink to a Red Circle article naming these and a few more, but I'm just wondering why the extra click and why just an article? Why not actually fill that out? So it's in the neutral zone. I mean, they hit the actual major ones that I've been talking about all along, but the extra click and the extra page is just like head scratchy a little bit. Now, as for the file integrity, I uploaded a file. I downloaded a file. The same 80 kilobits per second that was uploaded was downloaded. And yes, I do not produce a podcast that's 80 kilobits per second. This is the one that I actually got from another producer. And I did upload, though, one of my recent 192 kilobits per second files. It was uploaded and downloaded. No change. And then I deleted the podcast from the feed. However, the name change was changed to a long series of random characters. And for those that caught our conversation last episode with Pinecast, this was truly it. Mm-hmm. There was a long character, and I don't even think there was a .mp3 afterwards, but I can't remember for sure.
There was.
It was just unrecognizable, and it was much longer than the file that I actually had. So the file name was changed, but at least the integrity wasn't. So at least it would sound like I wanted it to sound.
On the test that I did, it had the long series of numbers, and then it had the file name that I had uploaded. So it was underscore file name. So you could kind of see it, but the long characters is what most people will first see when they go to download something. So it's definitely confusing. So that's in our neutral. I just wish people would just leave the file name the same. Just leave it the same.
Yeah, and for the file name changing before, I was considering putting spaces as underscored before as a file name change. And I think that's what happened with Pinecast. I'm not going to consider that a change anymore. Just the way files are stored, I think we have to allow for spaces becoming underscore.
And speaking about the file, there's no obvious way to download the file from the back end of the interface. Now, why do we say obvious? Because it is kind of a couple clicks away. Hey, seeing a trend here. The website player has the embed, and that embed has a downloadable link. So if you're on an individual episode in Red Circle, you can actually go to the, quote, embed this episode, end quote, area, which gives you that embed code and a preview of the embed player. So there you can see a download button on the embed player. So you can get it through a few clicks, but on the main landing section that has all of your information for your episode, all there is a link that says copy episode media URL, end quote, which you could paste into a browser. So just give me a download button there. Make it fast. Make it easy for me to do that. So yes, you can download it through a couple roundabout ways, but we would like to see a way to just easily hit download if we needed to download that from the back end.
Here's the segment that Damien's been dreading this whole episode. We're going to talk about the Red Circle shortcomings. There's a few that we noted for the service. First of all, Red Circle does not offer an all-in-one solution. Actually, I don't know if anybody does anymore after Spotify for Podcasters took that away. Secondly, there is no indication that Red Circle supports the Podcasting 2.0 namespace. Now, on a tangential related note, they do support transcripts, and it appears they do use the podcast transcript tag, but whether you call that Podcast 2.0 or not, that's up to you. I'm talking about the entirety of the namespace, so they don't support that, at least from what we've seen. Aside from the aforementioned conversion to video option, Red Circle also does not support any video functions.
Moving on, Red Circle also does not appear to have any connections with social media accounts, not even linked badges on the webpage, so that is a downside. And for team access, at $20 a month for the growth plan, there's no way to add it on without going up to the $35 a month plan, which the difference between $25 and $35 US might be enough for people not to want to do that. It might not be worth it to get those team seats. Yes, you can get those 5 team seats, but they're not there in the more affordable plan.
Using the same cost analysis that I did with Pinecast, I'm still going to be saving money by moving up to the $35 a month plan. I spend $28 and change each month with Libsyn, with taxes involved. Moving all those 5 shows over to Red Circle would save me about $13 per month, plus include 5 team seats. So if I'm moving my shows that I have right now from Libsyn at the plan levels that I have at Libsyn over to Red Circle, I'm still saving money.
All right, moving on to the next con that we've got here. SP, I have a question for you. If I am a podcaster that wants to upload my 1 hour WAV file every single week, can I do so?
Not with Red Circle. There's no AAC, WAV, MP4, or MOV files allowed. There's also no video files allowed, which are MP4 and MOV files, which is a little odd since they allow the creation of a video file from your MP3 file.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Red Circle does, though, allow MP3s and M4As. So they're a little more restrictive on the file types than we've been seeing in the trends on some of the media hosts we've been reviewing.
All right. It's also worth noting that they restrict artwork to 1400 by 1400 minimum and 3000 by 3000 pixels as a maximum. While the logic behind this makes sense, it would be nice to see an option to automatically resize if they're going to be this restrictive. After all, they do have a way to generate video based on the audio, as I just mentioned. An option to resize the artwork would be pretty easy. Will the image integrity be lost in the resizing? Yeah, but the odds are a podcaster will just be doing the resizing anyway in a similar fashion using an outside tool. So I don't see the problem. And by the way, the 1400 by 1400 minimum and 3000 by 3000 maximum, those have been in place since I think when we started Better Podcasting in 2015. They haven't really changed, but I can see in the future them changing, and I don't know what Red Circle is going to do with this or not.
And that restriction, as far as I could see, applies on a per episode basis as well. So every week you would need your individual episode artwork to be within that spec. Now, Red Circle also does not support ID3 tags. Now, getting back to the file integrity, it's actually worth noting they don't modify them. I went and I uploaded something with the tags, and I downloaded the file. The tags were still there. So at least they're not stripping them out there. It would be nice to see some form of ID3 tag information in there, even if it's a little bit dated, because they obviously recognize that it's important enough to put on their, quote, podcaster's glossary, end quote. Yes, they have a whole section on there called the podcaster's glossary where they talk about in there ID3 tags. So it would be great if they would have some form of support on that.
Our last point is something that at first glance might sound odd, especially coming from us. And it might even be a massive plus for some users. But we have to be faithful to our show, which is a podcast for hobby podcasters. In our opinion, Red Circle feels very money-driven. Whether it's their landing page that begins with big text that says, "Maximize your podcast revenue!" Or it's the way that the dashboard seems very centered around revenue, Red Circle feels like it's the most money-focused web host that we've reviewed yet. Now, that's not to say that it might not be a suitable provider for hobbyists. We'll come back to that in our summary in a few seconds. But for a hobby podcaster who might not have any focus on money, there are a lot of page options and money talk that one will have to get used to just ignoring. So for a hobby podcaster not focused on money, this is a con because money revenue is woven into a lot of the website.
In summary, Red Circle, it's not perfect, but if we're honest, the neutrals and shortcomings are not complete showstoppers for us. The file name change, not a showstopper. File size limits, perfectly within what we'd hope for. Sure, it would be nice to have IAB certified statistics, but they do say they try to be compliant. And we personally also have questions about the future of the relevancy of IAB statistics. Will everybody keep going with that? That's a whole other question. Just because of the way that the certification process has changed. Come to our Discord, we can talk more about that. Price-wise, the value for dollar is really high with Red Circle. There's a lot of features that are offered for a relatively low price compared to other hosting providers. I have to say, SP, out of everybody we've looked at to date, this is the first one that I went, okay, I think we're getting somewhere.
I agree. Price-wise, the value for the dollar is high for Red Circle. There's a lot of features offered for a relatively low price compared to other hosting providers. There are cheaper options available. Pinecast is one for us on the $5 a month plan. And they have less features, but still might work for most podcasters. Red Circle feels like they're trying to offer a valued product for people who recognize the benefits of a paid service and are willing to not cater towards a base that are looking to pinch the most pennies. At this point, Red Circle has at least earned a slot on our short list of podcast media hosting services, which includes Podbean, Pinecast, Spotify for Podcasters, yeah, you heard that right, and Red Circle. We'll keep keeping our eyes on Red Circle moving forward, and hopefully, if anything does change, it'll be for the better for hobby podcasters.
This is where we here at Better Podcasting turn the show over to you as we run through some of your feedback. We call this segment Better Podback.
Could there be a Rode Wireless Go competitor, SP? Maybe.
Maybe.
Because this past week in our Discord, Randy Walker posted a link to the Boya mic. And I don't even know if there's a proper model number. I'm going to be honest on this because it just says Boya mic. Now, Boya, B-O-Y-A, however you say that, they make products. I actually have a wired lav mic from them. I actually have two because I lost one originally and then I needed it for a project. So I ordered another one and then I ended up finding the first one. So I got two. But they have a product out there that's an all-in-one wireless mic with onboard rec. That's what the site says, with onboard rec. They're clip-on style microphones like you see with the Rode Wireless Go. And what's interesting about it is it says that there's 8 gigabytes of memory storage and up to 15 hours of recording. So apparently it must be an all-in-one recording. That's what the rec stands for.
Oh.
Other features listed on this is up to 300 meters of wireless transmission. Separate noise cancellation control, 48 kilohertz, 24-bit HD audio format retained. It has a 20 to 20,000 hertz frequency response and a bunch of other random things in there, including a 3.5-millimeter headphone output so you can monitor in real time or maybe feed it somewhere else. So this is interesting when you click the buy now link on the Boya site, and I can't speak to the quality, it took me over to an AliExpress listing, which I was way too lazy to go through a VPN to see the US equivalent currency, but it tells me it's 213 Canadian dollars. So
wow,
it's up there, but I believe that comes with two microphones. So, you know, it might be something someone's looking for. I don't know about the quality, but those clip-on wireless goes are out there. There are a lot of people use them now, even though personally, I think there's some things that can be said about them, but a lot of, they work for some people. So I think we're just going to see more competitors like this.
On the US side, I took the hit, clicked the link, and it says it's $149.99, which is 50% off. It was launched within the last 30 days, and it's there. I've seen a lot of sailing YouTube creators use these type of capabilities, not Boya, but with the Rode microphone and the DJI microphones, and they seem to be doing okay for their applications. But again, their applications do not include like pristine audio that you might want in a podcast studio. It's more like on the boat as they're moving or doing their adventures for the day or something like that. So they're on the move. They're doing video. It's an adventure sort of podcast, or not podcast, but a video on YouTube. And yeah, I don't necessarily know if I would use them for a podcast. I know a lot of people are using these labs or these clip-on labs that are doing interview sorts of things, or maybe roundtables, like they're in a theater at a school or something like that, and they want to record the conversation and then push it out as a podcast later. So I know a lot of people are doing this sort of thing. It's just not something that I personally want to do, but if it's something that you're doing, you might want to take a look at this and see how it compares to your needs versus the DJI or the Rode microphones.
I think if we're to put aside all of the potential problems that we've talked about many, many times about using too powerful equipment on too underpowered hardware like a computer, one of the things that kind of occurred to me recently is where we might start to see with some of that software-driven noise reduction. There's been a lot of progress with that in recent years. And some of these products that are out there, that even things like the Vocaster 2 and the Wave, Elgato Wave XLR, they have inline denoising software in there. And one of them even has, if I remember correctly, the capability of hooking into the NVIDIA noise reduction. So it will be interesting to see what we might start to get, because this here mentioned that it had noise cancellation, but what we might start to get even in things like maybe a USB condenser microphone or something, if the software happened to have decent noise cancellation. It'll be really interesting to see what's in the future. I can't speak to where we're at now, but it seems like there's a lot of progress being made in that area.
There is indeed. So moving on to the next feedback, Waffles, who was on our previous podcast, Chris, as a guest, he actually was progressing with his embedded player from Pinecast on his website. And he took a screenshot that really compared a couple of them out there. And I got to say, it's actually doesn't look that bad. Steven, what did you think about it?
It looks great. I'm not going to say not bad. I think it looks great. So if you go to our Discord, you can see the post over there. And yeah, he had in there a couple of posts with the new Pinecast player next to the previous PowerPress one. And I think it looks miles better. So good job, Waffles. Great idea. And I might have to start trying that myself.
Yeah. So we also had a question on our Discord server by Game Buddha. And he said, "Hey guys, I'm glad you're doing the podcast profiles again. What's the requirement? My wife and I would certainly love to do one." And I responded to him and I said, "I will get my secretary in touch with you." And my secretary failed and did not get in touch with him.
Well, your secretary is getting in touch right now. Okay. This is the situation. Now that we got the Hobby Podcaster profile back, let's start with the name, the Hobby Podcaster profile. We are looking to only do this for hobby podcasters. So how you interpret a hobby podcaster is up to you. But we would like you to tell us why you're a hobby podcaster and then email podcast@betterpodcasting.com and let us know with that information. And then we can talk about it. And yeah, bottom line, we're not sitting here looking to be a marketing avenue, a marketing stream for people just to go and randomly drop in their blank podcast advertisement. We're looking to highlight fellow hobby podcasters and their history with that. That's why the questions are the way they are, because we want to hear a little bit about the story behind the hobby podcaster. So we are looking to highlight hobby podcasters, and get in touch with us and we can have a conversation. Just email podcast@betterpodcasting.com.
That email actually goes to both Steven and myself, so we'll both see it. Also, moving on to the last bit of feedback today, Damien, the DM, our third co-host of Better Podcasting, he had a little staff meeting with us in the middle of Discord, and he said, I just want to say, I brought up the embeds a while back, and he linked the actual post on the Discord server. So yeah, Damien, you're right. You did.
And I know we mentioned that earlier in the show, but we had to close it off with that because Damien, credit where credit's due, SP ignored you.
Ignore me. Yeah, no, I didn't. No, I don't know what happened there, Damien. I'm sorry, but we have agreed to bring the embeds, the embeddable players actually onto our criteria as we move forward. And I think it's going to be key. I know at one point in time, I explored the Libsyn player when I had a website for a podcast, and I was not happy with it back at the time. So I don't know what it looks like now. I don't care. We're leaving Libsyn regardless, but I am interested in how the other players look. As I go to shows for a variety of different reasons, I go to their web pages and I want to play their episode. I gotta say, I didn't used to care, but I care now about what's on there, the controls that are on there, how it looks, and if I can actually download the file, because sometimes I just want the file to download so that I can take it with me on a computer is basically what I want to do. And yeah, I know there's a billion different ways to do it, but sometimes that's how I have to roll. So yeah, I do like the idea of putting in the embed players as a criteria. Besides, if you're out there and you have a URL for a website like we advocate you do for your hobby podcast, it's going to go somewhere. And if you happen to have a website, you should have a good player out there. Otherwise, they're going to say, how do I play this? I don't know. I'm just leaving right now. And they never experience your podcast. So it has to be good enough for somebody to at least try. I know the percentage of people that do that is small comparison to how everybody consumes podcasts. But if you can get one person to listen to your show every month that way and maybe subscribe or follow, then it's worth it to me.
So that's going to take us to the end of another episode. Before we go, we'll remind you, we are part of the Gunna Geek Network. There's a bunch of amazing geeky podcasts over on the Gunna Geek Network. Please check that out at gunnageek.com and come to the Discord as well and chat with a bunch of the awesome geeks that are in there. I've got a lot of awesome talk that's been happening over a long time now, but over the last week, we had some April Fool's talk going on. We had some space talk going on. We even have some waffles talk, and we're talking not just about waffles himself, we're talking about actual waffles. So you should come to the chaos that is the Gunna Geek Discord server.
GunnaGeek.com/Discord or BetterPodcasting.com/Discord. They both go to the same place. We'll be coming back to you next week with another podcast media host service review. And if you have a podcast media host that you would like us to review, let us know. And let us know on our Discord server, and we would love to talk to you about it.
So, for episode number 292 of Better Podcasting, I'm Steven saying thank you to everybody who watched. And once again, come to our Discord and thank Waffles for guesting last week.
I'm SP saying we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of Better Podcasting. You can find the full back catalog of Better Podcasting at betterpodcasting.com. If you're into geeky podcasts, please check out the other podcasts on the Gunna Geek Network at gunnageeknetwork.com. This show was produced and edited by Stephen John Drew. Voice work was done by L.W. Salinas. Thanks again for listening or watching, and we hope to see you again next week.